Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And of course, if you want to be a part of the program, we always encourage you to do so. Leave a comment at 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox.
So it wasn't a one-day thing.
We're gonna keep it, to be honest. Yeah, we're going to keep it going.
Comment. Makes it one word.
Question and comment.
Question and comment.
Leave your comment. 650-650 at the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome. Details at DunbarLumber.com. Before we get into the open, producer of this fine program and generally good guy, Josh Elliott Wolf, was covering Canucks practice today.
Yeah. He's an up-and-coming journalist.
And I don't know if I'd go that far.
Well, good thing he's not a photojournalist. You were asked to take a picture of the Canucks Pacific Division champion banner. And in, honestly, I encourage you to check out Elliott Wolf J on Twitter, X. And check this picture out, because it very well might be the worst picture of all time.
There was a speaker in the way where I was sitting. And to be honest, like, practice was still going on. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not going to move right now. But I'll take a closer picture to show you that it says 23-24. You can see the 23-24. So you know it's there.
Yeah.
It was a bad picture.
It's not a great one.
No, it's not a great one. It's pretty bad.
The other part of this.
Why not move and take a photo from a different spot? I mean,
you are allowed to move during practice, Josh. Like, you're not glued to the seat.
Well, so the other
part
of
this. A stadium full of 18,000 plus seats, most of them are free during practice.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm aware. The other part of this was that I thought this was like public knowledge. To be honest, I thought the banner was in there for the first home games already.
That's fair.
So I was like, I don't need to take a good picture. This isn't news.
It was news. Yeah, so I mean,
I went back and took a good picture.
You did. You did.
You played along with the bit for a while too.
Yeah, I like the second one. The better one. That was good.
Eventually you got a good clean photo of the Pacific Division champion banner, which I think I like it more than the New York Rangers saying that they were the regular season champions.
Yeah.
And having a banner.
I mean, honestly.
Like, Canucks have a President's Trophy banner, right?
Yeah I mean, that's
you that's won, fine.
That's fine. I mean, you I won the
just,
league.
Regular season champion sounds so much weirder to me.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same thing.
It's almost, well, it's insulting the intelligence of your fans.
Yes.
Like, they don't know what a President's Trophy is. Just in case you don't know what the President's Trophy is.
We are the regular season champions. Yes, thank you.
Stanley Cup champions, they're just going to be a lot. We're the playoff champions.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe we'll save it for overrated, underrated.
Yeah.
Divisional.
Putting up a division banner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll save it. Overrated, underrated, coming up after 5 o'clock. You can get in a submission or two at 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. All right, let's get to it. It's the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
The open, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And last night, the Canucks got a big 6-3 victory over the Chicago Blackhawks, closing out a 3-1 road trip. There are still some things that this team needs to iron out, as you would imagine, considering we are still so early in the season. Canucks have now got it back to 3 wins and 3 losses. But to put it in other terms, or nicer sounding terms, they have just 1 regulation loss on the year, points in 5 of 6, and have won 3 straight games. And I feel like the offense was somewhat ready to break out. You know, we've seen them have a little bit more success lately. Offensively, they are getting more chances. Pettersson's more involved. there's a lot going on that maybe just wasn't coming around. And the finish was lacking, as I put it last week after the loss to Tampa Bay. And once that started to come around, you're starting to see the offense really round out to a point where it's different from last year when they started the season hot. Offensively, they had the power play going really well, and the points, the goals were very concentrated to a few players. Remember, for a time early in the season and long into the early parts, this is almost the end of October into November, it was like Pettersson, Hughes, and Miller were 1, 2, 3 in the league scoring.
Yeah, it was those guys. And then, and Quinn Hughes was just, essentially dominating everything.
Yeah, Besser was leading the league in goals. He was top 10 in scoring. But all of their points, all of their goals, or a lot of their goals, were concentrated to those four players. And you contrast that to this year so far, and the offense has just started to break out. Four different players lead the team with 6 points. You're getting goals from further down the line. Up. You haven't relied, until last night, the power play had been pretty quiet through these first bit of games, especially the top unit power play. So you haven't relied a ton on that. It, to me, if you were looking for an early sign that the offseason moves were paying dividends, we're starting to see it happen in these last couple of games.
Yeah. And I don't think we had any real concerns that the forward group was going to be an issue for the team.
Yeah.
It was really about how is it going to look and how is it going to work. And it shows that we're not even sure all the combinations are going to be the combinations that we see at the end of the season yet. However, they're still having a lot of success.
Yes.
Of course, Pettersson and DeBrusk, they haven't really gotten going yet. But
the only two Canucks forwards that have played 6 games and don't have a goal.
But between them, they have 7 points. We're not talking about, zero bottom line, for instance, right? And Pettersson's picked up a couple of primary assists the last couple of games. Maybe a different discussion about where his game is at. But, DeBrusk, had that 2-assist game, had some good moments. So those guys are nowhere near their peak either. And I'd say even as much as JT Miller's been productive, I don't think we're seeing the best JT. He's playing hurt.
Yeah.
So, and I'd say, Sherwood looks very impressive, but I think there's more to Sherwood's game we haven't seen yet. Pew Suter scored, but I think his game is still something that's kind of coming along and we haven't seen him make his mark. Heinen finally went on the board, but we haven't seen his full game grow yet.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's an indication of what is possible when this lineup could be clicking. And ultimately, you're not going to have all four lines clicking consistently together all the time. That's how a season goes. But they have enough depth here that when Pettersson's only has 3 points in 6 games, this team is showing no issues scoring goals. And that should give you confidence that over the course of a long season, whether it's injuries or slumps, they should have enough secondary scoring.
I'm a little surprised that, here I am at this point of the season, still very early days, obviously, 6 games, but if you would have told me through the first 6 games, Jake DeBrusk doesn't have a goal, however, the Canucks offense is trending in a good direction, I probably would have said, I don't know about that. I think they were banking quite a bit on Jake DeBrusk to add to their goal totals this year. It just hasn't really clicked for him just yet, but still has a little bit of a bottom line, as you mentioned, with the 4 assists. As for Danton Heinen, felt like a guy that has been hurting for confidence a little bit, has finally found a fit there with Bluger and Sherwood. And bless Bluger, because he's one of the nicest guys on the planet for passing that puck up to Heinen for the first goal last night. Because I don't know, to me, there's no world where Bluger should be passing that puck, but it still ended in a Canucks goal, so you can't knock it too much.
Hey, you talk about a good teammate. He just wanted to get his guy his first goal.
It's like Pettersson trying to get that first goal for DeBrusk game of the season.
Yeah, just trying to pass it over to him. But I think the Bluger chance was miles better than the Pettersson one. Because you rewatch the Pettersson one, the guy's trying to block the shot. It's not as clear a chance as you think it is. Bluger could have easily, scored another goal, right?
I put the still on Twitter. It's like hilarious when you see it.
It is really funny. No, it's really funny. But hey, it worked out. And I think what Bluger is showing, as much as there was a lot of talk last year that Bluger was the beneficiary of having Garland and Joshua on his line, he's showing that he's very capable of having success with neither of those players.
Yeah.
And right now, that line with him and Heinen and Sherwood, that's maybe was their most consistent line.
These last couple of games, these last two wins for sure.
You know, and I actually like the Garland, Hoglander, Pedersen line. I think they've had two really good games and really good moments. But in terms of consistency, forechecking, energy, being good defensively, and obviously contributing with actual goals as a line, they've done it in a huge, huge way. And I think that's a huge testament too to what Teddy Bluger is bringing. We were talking to Josh before the show, and we were looking at the forward group and saying, okay, what weaknesses do they have? And one thing we wondered about was third line center. Do they need another center? They went after Lindholm last year. They didn't feel that Pedersen and Miller was enough. Do they feel like they have enough? And if Bluger continues doing what he's doing, you have Suter and Ullman in the mix. Do you feel pretty good?
I feel pretty good. But it's like, it would still be on the list of things that, like, hey, I'm happy with Bluger, but I would still, playoff teams that want to go deep probably would need an upgrade. But that being said, there's other holes on the roster that you would definitely address first. Like, well, it's not like last year where you clearly needed Lindholm.
Yeah, you'd still love a right shot center at some point to play in one of those bottom six roles. But if Bluger can play at a between 30 and 40 point pace with the PK minutes that he plays, and they're winning their matchups 5-on-5. Like, how much more are you asking out of a third line center?
I think the only thing is what you mentioned, the handedness, having the right handed center. But do you feel like Ratu is a good enough option in your lineup by playoff time potentially?
Right.
That he can take some face offs for you and be a guy that we see Baines right now in Oman on the roster. You have Joshua coming back. Like, there is the 12th forward spot. That includes Sprong, who's been healthy scratches. That's the one thing. Like, who's going to claim that? Could he be, if he can be that internal option, then do you really need to go out of your organization to address it?
Yeah, that's, I'm not ready to say that yet. Just from what we've seen out of Ratu, I mean, I like the progress he's made, but I don't know if he's ready to play that kind of an impact role by the time he gets a playoff time.
But is it a role or just taking the face-offs?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you can always add a guy like that too. And listen, I'm talking about by playoff time. And
because he can take the face-offs as if he's right-handed.
Yeah, exactly. As he flips the stick. So that, I think, is a benefit he has. Because that's the one thing they're still missing is a right-handed face-off. Somebody who can take right-handed face-offs right now on this roster.
And something that they're going to continue to look forward to through the course of the year. The forward group, you mentioned Sprong there. It's kind of a battle between him and Baines right now. Baines, as Josh tweeted out the lines from practice, he did that well, aside from...
I was so nervous about that, by the way. I was like, I'm going to mess this up.
This is a big ask. Oh, my God.
Why is Pedersen playing with Lekkerimäki?
Like right now, Baines is ahead of Sprong, and I know people want to see Sprong back in the lineup, but I watch Baines, especially in the third period last night, and that fourth line has a shift where, you know, Baines is like working along the wall and they're cycling the puck and they don't even attempt a shot, but they keep it in the offensive zone for 40 seconds. And I'm like, yeah, Rick Tocchet loves that.
Exactly. And I see a lot of people pointing and wondering why is Baines in the lineup ahead of Sprong. And I think everybody knows Sprong is a more talented hockey player, a more explosive hockey player, and a far better offensive hockey player today.
Yeah.
There's no contest.
No.
But that's not the priority for that role and what the coach is looking for.
Yeah.
And all those things you mentioned are kind of hard to spot if you're casually watching the game or you're not paying attention to those things because it's boring. It's not really visible. But watch him every shift. See his work along the boards.
Yeah.
See his work positionally. See his work supporting the puck, closing guys down, you know, being in the right position, rotating well.
Yeah.
He does all those things really well, which make him very safe, right? And I agree, there needs to be a higher bottom line for him to have a bigger role here. But whether you like it or not, those are the things the coach is prioritizing, especially down the lineup.
And if the development coaches like hammer this home. Remember at training camp, everybody we talked to, from prospects to guys in Abbotsford, even guys on the team, like, what's a big thing for wingers with this coaching staff? And it's like, oh, wall work.
Yeah.
How we pick the puck up off the wall
100%.
And body position on the wall. Like everything is about how they do things on the wall.
Exactly.
And you can see how that part of Baines's game has made him, has kept him with an NHL job here early in the season.
His offensive skill set is not advanced.
No.
But that part of his game is pretty advanced.
Yeah.
And that's what's giving him an edge to be in the lineup and for the coach to trust him.
So those are some of those things. And ultimately, like, the way I look at it and why it feels promising to me is if you get to a point here where this keeps up, where the depth scoring continues to play a role for this team. And it feels like it does because there's a lot of talent through this forward group. And Sherwood, I mean, he looks about, you know, close to the 50 goal scorer Sad thinks he is with the way that he is driving play right now. But
he's, I mean, did we underrate him? I'm just kidding.
In jest, but he has looked really, really good. And I think over the last three games, it's what, 31 hits, which would be second in the league.
Yeah,
you know,
it's nuts.
So he leads the league by a country mile when it comes to hits. And ultimately, like, what puts this offense truly over the top? Because you look at some of the underlyings and, yeah, not the most impressive when it comes to expected goals at 5-on-5 and those kinds of things, which we always tell you to take with a grain of salt when it comes to the public data. But what this offense is waiting for is Elias Pettersson.
Mm-hmm.
And when that comes, assuming it does come, because we all believe in Elias Pettersson's talent, or at least most of us do, that's going to be the thing that helps this offense really get over the top. Even, you know, like, we're talking a lot about the depth pieces. Like, I don't think, because Miller's been hurt these last two games, they haven't really been able to drive play the way you would expect Miller and Besser to drive play these last couple of games. So it's really had to rely on Pettersson with Garland and that Bluger line. And I think that really shows how much more depth that this offense has to it this season.
Well, yeah, and I think as far as tougher opposition,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be playing New Jersey and Carolina next week.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
We'll get a better view of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a tougher test. And if your game isn't as clean as it needs to be, mm-hmm. and if Petey's not going, if JT's a bit hobbled, like, that's where it's going to show, right?
Yeah. Especially with the way New Jersey has been playing this year in Carolina. Still doing that Carolina thing where they pretty much lead in every underlying metric you could possibly imagine early in the season. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. That's where you can leave a comment. All right.
Just don't.
Sat hates it so much.
Also, qualms. It works for qualms.
No,
it
doesn't.
With
no,
the show?
No, yeah. No. It really doesn't.
Three. It's a triple entendre, Sat.
No, listen, man. No. Just.
All right, let's get to the Canucks Central roundup. I guess, so the big topic and the elephant in the room that a lot of people are looking for us to take a bite from is what happened with Pettersson and Miller at practice today. So
still Pettersson then, right?
Yeah. We go to producer Josh Elliott Wolf, also Canucks practice reporter, for the exchange between Pettersson and Miller today.
You were at the scene of the purported crime.
Yes. So just to describe it, I guess. They were doing breakout drills, and then there was some yelling. It was a little heated.
So what happened? Like, did they come together? Like, what happened?
I would say they came together. They were going to the bench, and then there were some words directed towards Pettersson, and then they kind of split up. And then after that, it was fine.
Like, was there any pushing or shoving or any like slashing or
there
like
was,
stick
there was,
work?
You know, I would say Pettersson maybe fell, got pushed a little bit. Pettersson maybe slashed Miller. And then that's what led to Miller.
So that was during the drill that happened? Or like after the drill?
Yes.
Okay.
During the drill.
So they came together during the drill. Mm-hmm. Pettersson went down, gave Miller a slash, and then Miller told him to stop, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Tocchet talked about it after practice.
Okay. So Rick Tocchet had something to say. I mean, he was obviously asked about it. Your two top centers go at it a little bit in practice. Of course, the coach is going to get asked about it. Here's what Rick Tocchet had to say about the exchange between Pettersson and Miller.
Well, I mean, from my experience, like, listen, you don't want players fighting each other, but there's times and a place when you want to challenge the pace of the practice, or there's a certain drill somebody doesn't like or whatever. That's part of the game. It's not a big deal. You know, I've gotten it a few times. You know, you move on, be the first guy to go, take a guy to dinner. You know, I'm sure that if there was a scrum tomorrow or Saturday night, Mills would be the first guy to jump in for P. So, that, yeah, not a big deal.
Tockett says, not a big deal. Now, obviously, it's going to get a little bit of run on Canucks Twitter and through Canucks fan pages, whatever you would like to call it, because it's Pettersson and Miller. These things happen at practice. I wonder, you know, if Miller is trying to light a fire under Pettersson's you-know-what a little bit as kind of one of the leaders on the team and making sure guys aren't, you know, are keeping engaged through practice and all the drills. I wouldn't, like, to me, it doesn't really, these things happen at practice.
Yeah, I mean, yes, like, I wasn't there. Based on what we heard about it, it doesn't seem like anything overly serious. It wasn't like Rasmus Dahlin trying to take Peyton Krebs' head off and then afterwards trying to dummy him by feeding him punches. I mean, yeah. That's a bit more testy. And we know
Willie Mitchell, hit check at practice is a little different.
It is a bit different, yeah. And then there was a Mitchell Kessler actually getting into a scuffle. Yeah. You know, these things happen. Now, I'm sure a lot of Canucks fans raised an eyebrow because Pettersson and Miller have both talked about how, yeah, they haven't always been the best of friends or always get along. Yeah. And I'd say they're not roommates on the road or anything like that either. Like, I'd say those two guys probably aren't best friends. But everything that we've heard and even both guys have talked about, there's nothing wrong with the relationship. Both guys re-up with the organization long term. So, I mean, you know.
You don't have to be best friends to coexist.
No, exactly. Now, so is there something there for it? I don't know. Listen, none of us were there. We can't necessarily say it was anything really bad or not. I wouldn't raise a big eyebrow over it at all. But I do think one thing, and Josh was mentioning that overall the practice was pretty testy, like a little heated in general.
There was also intensity. A point where like Tyler Myers was mad and threw a stick in the crowd.
There was some intensity.
It was like an intense practice. It was a heated practice.
Yeah.
And so I think emotions from everyone were kind of high. And also, like, they got home late. I'm sure they're, like, kind of tired, too.
A little cranky.
Yeah,
but you know what? That's not a bad thing. Because, I mean, as much as this team has won 3 games in a row, and we just spoke about a lot of the good things, there are a lot of things, like we just said, like, they have to clean up. And that's part of the reason Tockett is still trying to put the nail down on these guys, put his thumb down a bit. And he's, because he knows, like we mentioned, you have Carolina coming, you have New Jersey coming, and you have to be a bit cleaner against those teams than you were against the Flyers, especially even moments against Chicago, especially protecting the middle of the ice. I know that's something that you've been really harping about the last little bit here. So I don't think it's a bad sign. I would say in general, whether it's JT trying to get PD going, I think Pettersson's the type of guy who doesn't necessarily respond to challenges that way. I don't know if that's the case, because I think he's generally a guy that if you want him to get going, like put an arm around him, I think that's kind of the type of guy he is. So I don't know if it was a ploy from JT to get Pettersson going necessarily.
It's something that I'm sure will get discussed quite a bit, as I've already seen some overrated, underrated topics thrown our way revolving around it. Canucks returning home for a 3-game homestand. As Kiefer Sherwood put it today after practice, get the plane legs out. That's why they practiced even despite getting in late last night from Chicago.
I think that's a smart idea because like you get the guys in, they practice, have the rest of the day off, and then now you have a clean day off tomorrow.
Yeah. And so they'll do that, have the day off tomorrow, and then get ready for Pittsburgh on Saturday. You know, given that the Penguins come to Vancouver only so many times, maybe one of your last 3 chances to view Sidney Crosby over the next few years. He did sign the extension with Pittsburgh, not to like put a date on it, but you know, that's kind of a reality of where we're at right now with Sidney Crosby's career. Carolina Hurricanes and New Jersey Devils will come in as well early next week to continue the homestand. Pittsburgh will also be on the second half of a back-to-back. They lost in a shootout to Calgary last night and will play Edmonton on Friday before coming to Vancouver on that second half of the back-to-back. Kevin Woodley is going to join us. His take, our goalie guru, on Kevin Lankinen being one of the absolute best goalies in the league to start this season. That's coming up next on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.